Brands don't stall in quarter four, they stall in quarter two and only realise it later. Quarter four is where brands try to scale and quarter two is where smart brands build. So in this episode, episode 21, we are breaking down what food and drink brands should actually be focusing on between April and June, which is where we are now, what to test, where to invest, and what to stop wasting money on before peak season hits. And it feels really strange to talk about quarter four and Christmas. Welcome, my lovely team. Episode 21. Yeah, we're back.
We're back around Easter talking about Christmas.
I know. It feels strange, doesn't it? It feels like timings are a little bit off. But it's a really good time to talk about what you should be doing in quarter two to then make sure when you get into quarter four that actually you're making the most of it. So we call quarter two a strategic build window, right? What do we mean by that?
So it's your time to like kind of trial and test. So you're not doing those tests in Q4 pretty much.
Yeah. And it's a really good way to protect your margins. And what do we mean by that? We mean actually when you have more eyeballs than ever before on things. So on your website, on your ads, on your socials, in quarter four, quarter two with Easter, with, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all those little tinier seasonality windows that come out, it's a good time to test all of this stuff, exactly like Laura says. But it's a good time to test your margins around, do we discount, do we not? And we talk about this a lot and what really works with our audience.
Yeah.
Because what we see happens a lot is lots of brands come to us in like October, November, want to turn ads on, be really quick and really instant with it. And we still have to learn. We still have to work algorithms. We still have to use Meta. We still have to set up foundations in Klaviyo. And that means that we're trying to fix foundations in the busiest time of year. So that means you're losing
when your
momentum.
Competitors are purchasing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that, Phoebe. So if your competitors are prepping now, then you should be prepping now. Mm-hmm. If they're not prepping now, great for you, because it means by the time you get to quarter four,
you're going to be ready.
You are going to be ready. So let's start with, obviously, we're talking all about quarter two, why it's really important in terms of that scaling, that learning period. But let's talk about what's changed in digital right now in terms of quarter two going into quarter four. What are we seeing is happening in our industry? We talk about trends a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily mean a trend.
No, just more changes in the way that consumers take in marketing, isn't it?
Exactly that.
I think probably the biggest one that we've seen and kind of is kind of quite documented everywhere is that how creative is now the biggest revenue driver. And it's that big thing that people kind of are not sure where to take their creatives.
Yeah.
And actually now we know Meta's really favouring new creatives, being lenient with it. And actually it's now really, really important to sort out your creatives.
So let's break that down.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say creatives, Phoebs? What are we talking about when we say creatives?
Obviously, that's what kind of the form of your ads and how they look. So we make sure, obviously, all of the ads for our clients are always optimized for different platforms and different things. So when it comes down to like even sizing or video or carousel, static ads, story ads, making sure that you've kind of got everything in touch. And making it look nice. Making it look nice is really, really important.
Exactly that. Which
it's the scroll stopper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you head that up for us. And we are seeing that creative, exactly like Laura says, is the primary performance driver.
Yeah.
Whether that's across ads, whether that's helping in emails, whether that's on socials, visually, how you look.
It's quick, isn't it? You don't have to read anything.
Exactly.
It's there right in front of you.
Yeah.
So it needs to be kind of what's going to get someone's attention.
Yeah, exactly that. So creative, number one.
Big focus, yeah.
Big, big focus. So secondary to that, I'm going to kick off with one, which is targeting.
Yeah.
So what do I mean by targeting? I mean, is it interest? Is it age? Is it demographic? How are we speaking to people? And who are we getting in front of? Now, targeting, when it's automated, is really, really powerful. So if you do your creative and you really nail your creative and you automate your targeting, those two together, that is where things get really, really exciting. So if we go backwards, creative, targeting, I think in one of our previous episodes, we spoke a lot about how when you turn a paid ad on, it's really quick. You can see results really quickly. It's instantly this many people have seen it, this many people have purchased. But it's really important to note that paid advertising is less forgiving.
Yeah, definitely.
If you have bad creatives, if you have bad targeting, you're going to know about it really quickly.
And I'm going to say it's not even necessarily down to bad creatives, because we've done things that we would think would work for clients. It's all about optimizing what people are buying from, because obviously we do ad sets, so we've got multiple ads on at a time.
I think that's a really important thing to touch on, testing multiple creatives,
looking at what's working, because it's not even necessarily that the ad doesn't look nice visually, but from a consumer perspective, there might be something that's just not driving them to buy as much, whether it's the call to action on the imagery or the graphic.
Yeah. And what about, we talk at this, I feel like this is a buzzword in our industry, but creative fatigue.
Yeah.
Again, let's break that down, because I feel like that is a buzzword that we talk about a lot. But what does that really mean? What do we mean by that when we say the creatives are fatiguing? What creatives?
Yeah, like from my perspective, it would be when something's kind of overused too much and you get a bit bored of it, blind of it, especially if you do like more trending style content as an ad. It's really easy just to become like, that's just another thing that everyone's done, everyone's seen. It's nothing special.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really help you jump out as much.
And the metrics that we can use to see that that's happening is what we would benchmark against is the frequency. So if you've got ads on, we would be able to see if that creative is fatiguing by and the frequency it's delivering to your customers, how many times they're seeing it. We'd also see it by how many times they're clicking it.
Yeah.
And all of those metrics together will give us that insight on, is your creative fatiguing? Mm-hmm. And obviously in Meta as well, with Meta AI, they are really helpful now. They will also tell you if your creative is fatiguing.
It kind of flags up, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So there's multiple things you can look at for that. So in terms of change, what we're saying is creative is really important. Targeting is also equally as important. And when you get those two things together, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
What should brands be building in quarter two? That is such a big question.
Email list.
Yes, exactly that. So why, Laura? Why is your email list in quarter two, that build phase, really important?
Because like I said at the start, this is your nurture time, your test time, your trial time, that people can start getting invested in your brand, learning about your brand, know about your products that come, if you are, especially if you're a gifting brand, come quarter four, peak time to be shopping for gifts, you're front of their mind already. They're not having to learn about you. You're not having to find new customers.
Yeah.
And they're there, they're ready. They're literally on the cusp of pressing purchase.
Yeah. And it's creating that infrastructure that when you go into quarter four, you've got it set up.
Yeah.
Because again, if you think about the year, food and drink brands, we live and breathe food and drink, don't we? We're massive foodies as well, which really, really helps. But quarter two, you've got Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day. You go into quarter three, it's actually then festival season.
Yeah.
It's consumer shows, it's events. It's when a lot of food and drink brands are busy, out and about, getting people to taste their products. So you kind of miss that key window in quarter three. Actually, we'll chuck in summer holidays there as well, because that's a massive one. You kind of miss a key window in quarter three where you can focus on this build phase.
Yeah.
Because there aren't any seasonalities or any peaks and troughs where you can get more eyeballs on things, because we don't really have that sort of seasonality or moment in that quarter three. So quarter two, we've almost got three in one quarter that you can use to build
really
and scale.
Yeah,
exactly. So if you create the email infrastructure, really powerful.
Definitely.
If you grow your database, really, really powerful. So what about creative testing? Again, quarter two, we've kind of touched on creatives, why it's so important. But where do we go with testing ad creatives now, and how can that help us going into quarter four?
Well, we do it with seeing what works for clients, because obviously there's so many different types of ads that you can use and create. So some clients we might find a static image works best. Some clients we find a carousel works best. Some it's a reel. Like it kind of just depends what works. And seeing kind of how you can manipulate those in different scenarios as well for different things.
Different audiences.
Yeah.
Different messaging on those creatives as well. Like, are people driven by an offer? Are people driven by learn more? Like what is driving people to get to your website and make that purchase?
And again, is it top of funnel?
Yeah. What are your ads trying to achieve? Yeah.
Yeah. And just to dive a little bit deeper into that, is it a traffic ad or is it a conversion ad? So a traffic ad is volume at that lower cost, softer ad metric. It's more of a come and see our brand. And a conversion ad is where it's come and buy from us. You've already seen us.
Yeah, we know what you've been looking at.
Yeah, exactly that. What else should brands be building in quarter two? I've got the next one.
Going to say, What is it?
Something that is massively overlooked. I have a conversation about it all the time. I talk to brands about it all the time. Some take it on board, some don't. But bundling and AOV.
Yeah.
Two really important things together. If your average order value is decreasing, so if it's £30 going down to £20 and it is decreasing and you turn ads on, you have to find more customers to get your revenue up. If your AOV is higher, you have to find less customers to get the same amount of revenue. Like, it's really simple maths.
It's very simple.
But finding it and doing it, it's really difficult.
I was going to say, it's one of those things harder than it sounds.
It's harder than it sounds. And we know that really, really well. And if you use bundles to help increase your AOV, it should get 15 to 30% uplift. If you use bundles.
That's
so a 15 to 30% uplift in your AOV if you use bundles. Somebody said to me, Kate, like, you can get your AOV up by 15% if
and
you create a bundle.
It's not really costing you anything.
It's all products you've got.
Right. So issues that brands have and conversations I have with them is around fulfillment.
Yeah.
So why can't we bundle? Because we can't do that in our fulfillment center. Easily, we can't put two products together. Or do we have to create a hamper? Do we need different packaging to package it up and make it look like a gift? It's as simple as you could do two of the same products together. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as you could create a bundle in Shopify that is two SKUs picked separately, but posted together.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be like, you say bundle and people think like, oh, I'm making a new product that's stuck together and it's its whole thing.
Comes wrapped nicely and all pretty and
packaged. Obviously, if you can do that, that is great. But don't
it's
hear
not
the
an
word
expection
bundle.
From a consumer, I don't think.
No, exactly that. And also, if you're a brand that's got multiple flavours, you know, of products or different jars of things, like, how do you then get your customers to try.
Because it's a taster, isn't it, then?
Bundles are great for that.
Yeah.
Take your bestsellers, then take your least bestsellers.
I've got well bad decision fatigue. If I can buy something that's got multiple of kind of what I'd want to try.
She's there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it makes a difference of getting consumers to shop on your direct website. For example, like if we say, I don't know, chutneys, for example, then think how many flavours you could have. Yeah, I could go into my local Tesco or my local farm shop even and pick up one.
Yeah.
Or I can even pick up as many as I want. But if I'm going to your direct website because I like one from you, am I going to place that order where I have to pay shipping and all of that? Whereas I could, if I'm buying multiple...
For gifts.
Or even for myself, if I want to stock up, for example, I don't mind paying that postage. I'm not going to pay postage for one item that I could buy in Tesco.
That's such a buffer for me buying all the time.
Whereas
is that
I'll
need one thing.
Like 10 items.
I actually think we need to do a whole episode on Phoebe's buying habits.
I don't think we should do it, or her bank would want her to do that. Or her partner would want her to do that.
I just feel like it'd be so interesting, the way that you purchase things and the decisions, i.e. the free delivery. I know you speak a lot about
free interesting
delivery.
Becoming from two
how
generations.
How everyone, we're all very different how we buy things. Yeah.
Maybe we should do a pod where we've got a laptop and we all purchase something and we all purchase
Can we all
it
use your card?
No.
Oh. Probably not down for that one, then.
No. Maybe we've
got
a
wedding to save
idea.
For.
Well, that was a great idea, personally.
So in the last episode, Laura wants a present at Fuel. And in this episode, she now wants to buy a product. I give up.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, what should brands be building now? Again, another really important point is selling an occasion, not a SKU. Yeah? So don't sell your product. Sell the why.
Yeah.
Sell the story. And
people
again,
are so invested in that now.
People are so invested. There's so many channels out there. I'm looking at a TikTok. I'm, you know, whatever it is to storytell.
Yeah.
You need to sell the occasion, but you need to sell it via your website as well. Really, really important.
100%. They don't want to lose the story when they get there. I think that's really like key. That story needs to follow through.
Exactly that. And if your product is a premium product, again, you need to sell that story harder, because You need to position it properly to give people the value of the product.
It's that price justification, isn't it?
100%.
Getting people to know why they should buy it. And people are willing. It's not that people don't want to spend more and they're not willing to spend more, but they need to know why they're doing it. And it's that...
Especially if they can get it cheaper from someone else.
Yeah, it's that knowing that the why, the background. People are so invested in how their food gets to their table
it's
now.
It's the quality,
yeah,
isn't
100%.
It? 100%. Yeah. I think. And that, the transparency.
Yeah, and that premium positioning requires a lot of education.
Yeah, you can't just go in really high end with like, you know,
no,
a £50 cheese, for example.
No, but then I think that's fair to say, actually, if you're not selling a premium product, you still need to educate your audience. It's still so important, so, so important. So... within that, there's a lot that we've just touched on around whether it's bundles, whether it's AOV, whether it's creatives, whether it's your email infrastructure. There's a lot in there that brands can be focusing on this quarter two that is really important to help with quarter four. I am just going to leave a little bit of a sort of tagline around if you increase your AOV, say it's at £32, right? Your AOV sits at £32. If you get it to £41, so literally minimal, it sounds minimal, your quarter four performance will be dramatically different. So that's literally a £9 increase.
Yeah, it's like a product, isn't it?
Yeah,
per customer. Depending on what you're buying.
But if you think about per customer, like that is
so
game-changing. So again, what would I be focusing on in quarter two? I would be looking at my AOV and I'd be looking at how I can get my AOV up.
Yeah.
That would be one of my biggest priorities this quarter. My second priority would be how can I build my email database? Yeah. And then that means when we get into quarter four, we've got this massive, massive pocket of people that we can market to who are all new customers. And like we've said in a previous episode, they've purchased once. How can we get them to go twice, three, four times? So I think AOV is a massive one to think about. Mm-hmm. Just on the flip side of that, wasted spend.
Ooh. Ooh. No one wants to think that they're wasting money, do they?
Nobody wants to think that they're wasting money. But again, what we see happens a lot is brands try and scale before they fix these foundations.
Yeah.
So they try and scale in terms of, we're going to put more ad spend in, our AOV is really low, but it's fine because the ads are performing, so we're just going to keep going. So when we talk about wasted spend, what do we mean by that?
I think a really big one is like heavy discounts. People just think that the answer is to get people into a brand or to get people, like, if sales are low, let's give a big discount. But heavy discounts all the time, that you're not protecting your profit margins and your revenue. You're just damaging your brand and kind of giving away products. But what are you getting from it? If you're not making money in the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even if you are making a small profit, I think it also positions you to consumers that they know that the price that they are originally paying is way above the value of what it's worth. It 100%. Undersells your product.
Yeah, 100%. I think the other part around wasting budget is big launches, but without a pre-build on
the
launch.
Without the hype, yeah.
Yeah, like,
you can't just
about?
Go, here it is.
And
well, no one knows what it is in the first place.
That's not a thing.
There's no excitement or limited edition availability. There's nothing there.
It's the hype, it's the hype, isn't it?
It is the hype. It is absolutely the hype. And I think that piece is so important, creating that hype, because it's that want and need. It's that FOMO before
it's
even launched.
Oh my God,
something's
coming out. Like, I want
it. And you get ready
new.
For it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's kind really of exciting.
Sometimes it gets... So like, so unrelated to food and drink, think about the Harry Styles tickets that we bought.
Oh, right. Let's just stop right here. We had a whole saga that I feel we need to share with our lovely listeners.
I don't know if we do.
We're getting thrown under a bus here.
We had a whole saga about these Harry Styles tickets. They couldn't get them. We were mid photo shoot. Then they could get them. Then it didn't work. Then we were back again. Are you two going to see Harry Styles?
Yeah. On the same day.
We're going together. We have booked the same Friday off work.
I am so happy for you both.
So are we.
And we all want picture evidence whilst you're there.
Oh, there'll be pictures. There'll be videos. We're already going to start planning our outfits.
Oh, wow.
Matching.
Well, it goes without saying.
Bucket hats?
Oh, don't be silly.
No.
Feather boa.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway.
So if anyone's got Harry Styles tickets.
Yeah.
She's like, Harry Styles. My brain's gone foggy.
It really has. What was I thinking about?
You were going to say it was the hype and the knowing that we needed to buy.
So,
you didn't want to miss out.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know it's coming, but in the back of your mind, you've already parted and spent the money.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, we've not got those tickets yet, even though someone's not got the product yet. They sit there for the week beforehand, 2 weeks beforehand. Yeah. As soon as you tease them about it and they really want it, they've mentally
booked their hotel already.
Yeah, they've already mentally bought the product that doesn't even exist or hasn't even launched. So when you get there, people are buying, people are going for it and getting the sales out the door.
Yeah. And I think
because they know that they want it.
Yeah. That ties really nicely with, it sounds bad, but kind of let your product sell out. Because then people want it more. I'm a sucker.
Yeah, I've waited like 6 months for a pair of jeans because I can get them in my size.
You are so bad.
I'm a sucker. If something sells out, oh my God, I need it.
This is what I mean. We need to do consumer behavior analysis on all three of us.
If something sold out, I need it.
Can I just tell you, if something sells out and they say, enter email here to tell me when it's back in stock.
Giving away my email.
But it never works. I never get them.
Oh, I do. And I click on that link.
Yeah.
So fast.
Right, so that is a replenishment flow.
Because
that is a really good marketing tactic. You two have fallen into it.
That one, I'm like, I need it. I need it. I need it. I will sit and wait.
I actually think we need to do some more email training.
No, because then I will know what I'm buying myself, like what I'm getting sucked
into. It's quite funny, isn't it? Because you just fall for your own tricks.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, that is where that
creating the hype.
Look how excited
we
all are talking about it. Like it's so fun. Like also being in marketing or having your own business and launching something new.
Yeah,
it's exciting. You're excited.
You need to share the excitement
with
other people.
Growing.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh my God, it's live! I'm so excited.
I remember actually talking of hypes when we launched our podcast for the very first
time. Exactly.
I was so excited.
And it rubs off on other people.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like,
you're excited.
You don't have to keep it a secret and then it's just suddenly a thing and everyone's like, where has this come from?
Yeah.
Do you know, and we talk about our podcast and I did actually a LinkedIn post on this a couple of weeks ago around it being, it started as a bit of a passion and I was like, we're going to start a podcast. And you both looked at me like,
here we go.
Okay.
Oh gosh,
she's got another idea. Where's this idea going to go? And here we are, like episode 21.
21 episodes deep.
We have had some of the most amazing...
Just shy of a year.
Don't tell me that. I might cry.
Just shy of a year.
We've done it for just shy of a year.
Can we do a big celebratory episode for our 1 year?
With presents.
Oh, Laura.
No, still not. No. Okay.
Anyway. But that's what I'm saying. It's around... creating the idea, sharing the idea, creating the hype, sharing it with your audience, and then the build from that.
Exactly.
It goes into products. If you're a brand, it's the same scenario. Use your VIP customers to build the hype first, then do it on socials, and then launch it. It will perform so much better. Okay, so we've talked about building hype. We've talked about what that entails. So what about... acquiring customers and how that costs a lot more to acquire versus using your existing and the importance of that, because I think that's really important when you think about quarter two around, are we acquiring new customers or are we using our existing?
It's both, isn't it, really? Like when you really think about it, you should never forget your current customers. They're so, so valuable. But then again, you also have the flip side where quarter two is very useful to acquire new customers. It's a lower spend on ads.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier to get people in and you're nurturing them ready. But it's that nurture journey ready to quarter four that's really important. That's where you're going to see revenue come in from those loyal customers and you're nurturing those new ones ready for Q4. So it's a kind of mix of both, but just never forget your current customers.
Yeah. And when you think about wasting spend and what to avoid, if you think about acquiring a new customer, it's five times
more expensive.
And that's not what you want to be doing in Q4 either.
Because it's even more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Five times more to acquire somebody new than it is to use an existing. Like, that is crazy stats.
Wild.
Absolutely crazy stats. And I think it's important to note most of our stats that we pull, all of the benchmarks that we look at are from our dedicated platforms. So whether that's Shopify Insights, Klaviyo Insights, HubSpot Insights, it's all industry data that we are so close to that we look at, because fundamentally that data fuels our clients' growth.
Yeah.
So for us, it's really important that we stay close to it. And hopefully our listeners that are listening to this take that data on board, because it shows that yes, acquisition is really important. Yes, it is expensive, but if you do it properly and you get your repeat customers coming back, actually you're making more of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've spoken about acquiring customers, but visibility is really, really important. It's a word we talk about a lot, but visibility without profitability is not growth. And what do I mean by that? I mean turn ads on, get loads of visible traffic and audience to your website, at that point, if they're not converting, they're not going into your email list.
No.
They're not making you any money.
It's almost one of those like vanity metrics, isn't it? Where people can know who you are and what you're doing.
But if they're not buying into you, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, exactly that. Okay, so that's quite a juicy episode that we've just gone through.
I think this is a good one. Nice little thing. It's like nice little things to think about.
Mm-hmm. Things to think about in quarter two that will help you build in quarter four. And my hot take in this episode has to be around, do not wait until quarter four to fix your foundations.
No.
Quarter two is where it's at. It's time to think about scaling. It's time to think about testing, trialing, learning, building. And quarter four is where you then grow.
Yeah.
That is how it works. That's the model. That's the engine. We know it works. We test and trial it all the time. We do it for our clients. And if you listen to this episode and you do what we've said, you will grow in quarter four. Yeah.
And you know what's a really another nice, I'm just here to promo. Honestly, just get me a little t-shirt.
Go on, Laura.
There's a reason that we do Fuel, our live event in quarter two.
Go, tell me.
Because it is, like we've said, this episode is basically why we do Fuel. It's getting you ready for when it's really, really peak season. So yeah. Fuel Live is our live half-day marketing event. It's not boring. It's not another conference. It's fun. It's lively. We have cool speakers.
Great food.
We have good
snacks. That's the only reason we're there.
Sorry.
We have good snacks.
Great food.
More great food, drink. It's just fun. Yeah, there's goodie bags. Like, it's not boring. It's not stuffy. Like,
no.
That's not who we are. And that's not what we'd want to invite people to.
No.
And we're here to just kind of work with you, help you, answer the questions that are like, burning questions.
Yeah.
It's basically just like a live podcast session, isn't it?
It is, really.
With about as many giggles, probably.
Yeah, I know. We have to be on best behaviour when we've got people actually in front of us.
I know. It's awkward then, isn't it?
I know. No, you're right. And Fuel Live for us is massive because we partner with and collaborate with all of our favourite people, whether it's Southwest based, whether it's national based.
Yeah.
And everybody, and I could get quite emotional when I talk about it, but everybody that supports us, it means so much. It's really exciting because they believe in what we do for our mm-hmm. clients, and they can see the power of what we do with our clients as well. And they believe in Fuel, and it's in its third year. It's coming back. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. And it's going to be bigger.
It's going to be bigger. And by the time this episode is out, all details will be out. So check the show notes.
We might have sold out tickets by then.
Wow. Oof. Sorry if we have.
Should we do two
different versions if we've sold out or if we haven't?
Yeah. No, we will. Last year, tickets flew.
They did.
So they literally flew.
Because so, who wouldn't want snacks, goodie bags and cool information?
I know. Laura did a talk on
Social media.
I did an email one. We also did a talk around the power of ads and acquisition. Yeah.
Great guest speakers.
I was going to say, yeah, we had some really cool guest speakers. Yeah. And we will have some very cool guest speakers this year.
I know. And I think what's really important for me when we were thinking about Fuel, which was another great idea of mine that you all looked at me as if
yeah,
to say.
Great ideas, honestly.
You're like, oh no, not something else. But Fuel for me was born out of being in the Southwest. We are based in the Southwest. And not having that open forum for conversations like this. We yeah. talk openly about food and drink. We talk openly about the digital space. We talk openly about, you know, what's changing, what's not changing. But as a brand and as a founder, do they have that platform to have that conversation, mm-hmm. to share, you know, is this what you're feeling in the market right now? Do sales feel slow? Is this what's happening? And Fuel, for me, was born out of, I want to create a room where everybody gets together, where those conversations happen, where we're all like-minded people. We're all foodies. Yeah. We all really value that space. And it looks at what is the future of food and drink marketing.
Yeah.
And that's why we created Fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just nailed that.
You did. I'm glad I let you take it away, to be honest.
Sorry. So, yes.
You can tell she's passionate.
I'm so passionate about Fuel. So, so passionate. Almost as passionate about this podcast as well. But when this comes out, Fuel will be out. Tickets will be out. So make sure you go and check them out. But this reminder of this episode, quarter two, most important for scaling, ready, to grow in quarter four. But I think that's it. Do we need to say subscribe, like,
yeah,
share?
Yeah, do all of that good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know what to do.
Our YouTube channel's flying, so go yeah, check so us out on YouTube.
Here on YouTube.
Yeah.
Sorry that you're watching us kind of just awkwardly sat here.
I know. But if you haven't checked out our YouTube, please go and give
come
it a follow.
Come and see us awkwardly
yeah,
sat
all of our
there.
Pretty yeah. faces. Why not?
Yeah. But I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll see you in the next one.
See you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.